Holy Spirit, I just thank you. I thank you that this is the day that you made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, that this day didn't just happen because the 24-hour cycles, Lord, you ordained today. And I thank you, you make everything beautiful in its time. And we thank you that you are the loving, genius, sovereign Father God over us. And we just thank you, we just thank you, we recommit afresh to you this year. We thank you, we are excited about what you're going to show us and manifest in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, basically, firstly, I want to congratulate everyone here. Want to congratulate you because you get to star. You were chosen to star in an end times movie. You are an end times movie. You were chosen. So God did not send you here to be defeated, but for you to overcome. He sent you here. He knew exactly what was taking place. And so I pretty much never spoke on eschatology until Noah turned up. And seriously. And because I just thought that my understanding was relatively sketchy. But one of the things is that we need to know is that rather than just regurgitate someone else's information or teaching, he says in Amos, he does nothing on the earth without first showing his servants the prophets. Okay? At the moment, maybe, and there's still, I think there's a 20th of January. I mean, there's such blanket censorship at the moment. So some people are still saying, no, the XYZ is still taking place. And then you've got prophets repenting en masse, apologizing. And so it says God's shaking all things. And that's okay, because what happens is that because what's in him will remain. That's good, isn't it? Do you know, ultimately what we want to do is we want to go into glory at some stage. I didn't say soon. At some stage and see those works of what we've built in the spirit go in before us. So we've actually built with gold, silver, precious stones. So who wants that? Seriously. So a little bit of a shaking at the moment, and that's okay, as opposed to getting the shock of our life. And so, as you know, 2 years ago, literally 2 years ago, first service, we were having a great time of worship, and then we just had a vision of Noah standing over there, okay? Just have people have visions. In the last days, I put my spirit on all flesh. And there's a thing called the cloud of witnesses. But what happens is, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Can someone say amen? And so I thought my cheese had slipped off its cracker. And I remember just going, oh, I can't say that. And it took me 6 months of a slow drip feed to actually put that stuff out there. I just felt a bit like, okay, hashtag culty, okay? You feel a bit weird. And so what happens is that what's the point of God showing you stuff unless you can proclaim it? That's called being a coward. Can someone say amen? So then we pretty much taught on renewing the mind and repentance. We can't trust in ourselves to save ourselves. We have to trust in the Lord. We have to build into Him, abide in Him. If we trust in ourselves, what happens is that then, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. So we did that for quite some time. Then the beginning of last year, you know, what happened is that I remember when things started to change in the spirit. Now, let me just, such a 101, is that things have to change in the spirit first. And we felt something change in the spirit. That's what prophetic people are meant to do. And so when people were going, when things return to normal, remember that, we're just having a bit of a break. Oh, this is actually quite nice for leaders and all that sort of stuff. And this is what was going around. And then all of a sudden people started picking up some things in the spirit. Well, there's conspiracy. I love that scripture in Psalm 2. It says, why do the nations plot a vain thing? This thing's being organized, okay? Not hard, you know. And we just can't disassociate into our, you know, religious comfort zones. The Lord's just saying, hey, I'm shaking everything. Congratulations, you were nominated before the foundation of the earth to come here and to overcome in Christ. Hallelujah. You get to star in that movie. And so we got to read on it pretty early. There's an image I've got. My dad was reading a book and I put a post on Instagram. And if you've got that picture there, It's in March 14. My dad was reading George Orwell's biography. It was basically March 14, we said, okay, some things are going on. We had people on staff having visions of Winston Churchill, okay? We're talking about war, all these sort of things. And we held a line throughout the year. But God started to speak to us. And it's so good that you guys are ready because we've been preparing for this movie for a while. There's the preview. But we've been preparing. And remember that if you cannot keep up with the foot soldiers, how will you keep up with the horsemen? We're in training for reigning. Now, there's going to be a word brought forward this morning, and then we're going to testify about some things. But this month, we want to break down the mechanics of crazy supernatural provision to overcome in this hour. Who's excited? Seriously. Okay. And this is stuff that we see. This is stuff that we do. So one of the things that I just want to put out there, this is really important. Because what happens is you go, you feel something happening in the spirit. And I'm not talking about gift of paranoia or conspiracy. You feel something move. Now, I've got on staff and in interns, you just got people who just hear from God. And so they're constantly, they go to sleep, sort of, you know, how everyone sleeps like this. Went away with the eldership on a holiday recently. One night, you know, nothing glamorous. But what happens is when you have a prophetic gift, as you're asleep, this Telstra tower goes up into the atmosphere. Okay, 12G. And so basically, is you pick stuff up. And we just started picking all these things up. And you go, and people go, when we go back to normal, and you go, no, it doesn't work like that. You have to change it in the spirit first. Don't make the assumption, because even if you study historical cycles, you don't even have to be prophetic. You look at historical cycles and there is a cycle going on. Can someone say amen? Okay. So one of the major things that I want to just open up with, and this is really, really important, is we're going to, because we do things all the time that we think are rather ordinary and normal, but we need to understand the dynamic behind it. And so I want to postulate that this took place this year. This was key for everything being set up. What I'm about to show you is it was key to changing everything in the atmosphere, in the invisible world. If you can please put in Acts chapter 15, that'd be great. This is the Jerusalem Council. And it says, they're bringing a prophecy from Amos. After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. Why? So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. And so what you've got, why is this such a big deal? David, we know, Jesus in eternity is the son of David, he's Hosanna. And so he's not the son of Moses. Moses is amazing. He's your brother, Abraham, brother, father. A bit confusing. And so amazing as they are, is that Jesus will always be the son of David. And David had a heart after God. And he set something up that got lost over generations. And God says, I'm so moved by what took place is that I want to rebuild a heart after God and worship. Well, that's nice. We're going to have churches everywhere. Praise the Lord. No. This is how it works. When you worship the Lord on your own, you're going to get an encounter. When you worship together, one can slay 1,000, two can slay 10,000. When you do corporate worship, angels ascending and descending. Okay? The gates of heaven and the house of God. There's a transaction taking place. I guarantee some of you came this morning going, I'm excited about today. Some of you are like, wow, I registered. Oh, I feel like sleeping in now. You know, like everyone's in a different space. But you feel different. You feel more elevated because you got ministered to. No one preached, But you engage. It's it. So when you worship the Lord, the heavens are open. This is why God the Father is seeking worshipers. I'm seeking the Lord. He's seeking worshipers. If you want to meet the Lord, you worship, because you're seeking him, he's seeking you. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So what happens is around the world, as the sun goes through the international date line and all the way around, you have corporate worship around the world. Angels ascending and descending, ascending and descending, ascending and descending. And we take it for granted. Around March, the world shut down in a week. The tabernacle of David, rather than being the heavens dilated, started to contract, because corporate worship started to become not legal. That's a big deal. You know, I look, live stream's great, and but you know, unless you've set up some massive speakers, you know, could have your headphones and whatever. But people generally are like, yeah, oh, that's nice, like this, and you love heart, like, comment, like this. That's great. It's better than nothing. But it's very different to actually worshiping. Worship got choked out. So I'm not sure. I think in some states you've got to have a mask on now. Like, we're talking, it's cray cray. And so remember, there's a lot of little nuggets that God dropped in our spirit. Like, just because it's plausible doesn't mean it's true. And so we're in a place now where we're going to have to hear from God like never before, corporately and individually. Can someone say amen? So why was that a big deal? Because I believe in that period of time where confusion, people go, oh, it's only just for a week. It's okay. You know, I'll get to sleep in or whatever. When you don't have angels ascending and descending, what do you have? You have darkness. And I believe gates in the spirit were set up because the world's gone mad. Has the world gone mad this year, last year? Come on. Like what we're talking, like up is down is up. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And you see these some things, it's like you see this slow train coming and you're like going, this is so obvious, but so many people can't see it. And so what's happening is that now we have to see reestablished first over ourselves individually and corporately the tabernacle of David. Can someone say amen? It's indispensable. When you just go, yeah, I've been working, I'm a bit tired, I got to go home. Friends, let me just say this, please, about as we're about to hear from Rachel. Please cultivate daily worship. Cultivate it. You're not just singing songs, you're keeping the heavens open over your life. Because nothing is, you know what's interesting? Darkness is static, light is dynamic. When you worship, the light invades and dominates the darkness. If you're asleep and lazy, darkness will start to creep in. You might not notice it straight away. So I want to encourage you is that we're going to see Psalm 91. We're going to see so many cool things. But I want you to be so excited about what God wants to say and do. It's real. The supernatural is real. But we have to transcend churchianity and live in obedience. We've all navigating stuff. But I tell you what he has, it says, eyes not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him, but he's revealed them to us by his spirit. And so if you can welcome Rachel, she's going to come up and...
Now you know why we have the Hobbit pulpit. I'm usually looking over it. All right. So I was asking the Lord for a word for this season and coming up towards the end of last year and beginning of this year. And the Lord gave me a very specific scripture out of Revelation 6:6. But then I realized that back in July, I had already received that scripture from the Lord, and I had done like a whole lot of unpacking of that scripture back then. And the Lord just reminded me, look, I've already given you the word for the season, and you're seeking a new word for a new season, and my season doesn't change on 1 January. My seasons are my seasons. My seasons change as like the people take hold and lay hold with obedience of those things that I've already given you and see those come through. So the scripture that the Lord gave to me in Revelation 6:6 has to do with the provision of the Lord. But when we're pressing in for words for this season, I really believe that this house and the body of Christ, especially in this time, is called to be watchmen on the wall. We're actually called to look out for those things that are coming and that are happening, and then not just see those things and then, you know, prophesy those things as though that is what the Lord will have us do with what we see, but that we actually prepare for the seasons that are coming, just like Joseph, you know, interprets the dream, and he knows that seasons of plenty are coming, but so are seasons of famine. He doesn't just prophesy that to be the case. He prepares. He then steps into a place of government, and he goes, now how do we deal with what the Lord has shown us? We've got 7 years of plenty. We go to the Lord. We ask for the strategies of how we now plan for the 7 years of lack. And so part of the job of the prophetic isn't just to see and hear, but it is to press further so that we can govern into the seasons that the Lord shows us and the things that are coming, so that we are not only prepared, but we become an answer for the world. We actually saw, we sought the Lord, and here is an answer for the world at large. Joseph didn't just have enough for his family. He had enough for his nation and the nations surrounding. They became an answer, and they became a place where people could come and get deliverance. So really believe that when we're seeking the Lord for words for a season, or we're watchmen on the wall and we see seasons coming, we should not stop there. We need to press further. Now what is the strategy? How do we govern in this place and actually become solutionists? So when we're looking, we've shifted seasons, right? And in the natural, we know that when we shift seasons, you know, we change our clothing. We are not wearing our thermals at the beach. We're wearing our bathers at the beach. We're wearing our thermals in winter. We understand in the natural that when seasons change, we plant, and then the season changes, we harvest. And yet, in the spirit, often the body does not change clothing, change strategy, change what they're doing when the season shifts. And the Lord's saying the season has shifted. We are now in a time of war, and the rules in peacetime and the rules in wartime are not the same rules. We are not wearing the same clothing. We need to be putting on our armor. We're no longer in a courtroom. We are on the battlefield. We have the word of the Lord. We have the judgments of the Lord. Now it is time to take them out and wage warfare with them. So the season has changed. What we do with our finances, it needs to change. What we do with our resources, it needs to change. We need to be seeking the Lord on a constant, in a constant place of saying, what now with this? What now with this? What about these relationships? What about these finances? What about the way that I'm praying? What about the way that I'm seeking? What needs to change? What needs to shift? How can I move with you? The pillar of fire is moving. The clouds come. How do I move with you? This is the season that we're in, the season of seeking his face for the strategy and the next thing. So what the Lord spoke to me in Revelation 6:6, and I'll just read that. Revelation 6:6 says, I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. That word harm there is do not do unjustly or wickedly to the oil and the wine. The wine and the oil is protected. And this scripture comes directly after the opening of the third seal in Revelation, where the black horse with the rider and the scales in his hand. Now, there's so much that I can say about that. I spoke at length on justice and mercy back in September. There is a season of judgments coming, and there is a season of mercy coming. And whether you stand in your own ways or in the ways of the Lord will determine whether you come under the judgments or you come under mercy. And I've continued to look into the judgments of the Lord, the justice of the Lord. And I really believe that the judgments of the Lord aren't necessarily Him raining down hail and you know, locusts and blood in the water. And I don't think it's necessarily that. I believe that the judgments of the Lord are the Lord taking His hand off and saying, you will now suffer the consequences of your own ways. You have judged your own ways to be better than my ways. And now I take my hand off, and the consequences of your own ways will now be what you reap. That's what I believe the judgments of the Lord are. But to those who will declare His ways above every other way and walk in His ways will find themselves in the provision, the oil and the wine of the Lord that cannot be touched and will not be harmed, and no unjust thing will come against it. That is the season that we are going to find ourselves in. Lord, what is of my own way and what is of your way? What do I need to surrender? What haven't I given over? Where am I still judging my own way above yours? Where am I still putting my trust? What do I have my trust in other than you? What apart from you is my trust in? Is it my job? Is it my finances? Is it my savings? Is it my friendships? Is it the people I know? Where is my trust in that's not in you? And those are the things we need to judge ourselves so that we shift them into the column of protection and provision and out of the place of our own ways where the judgments will be coming. And I just wanted to, I'm not going to say all that. We were recently we were recently on a staycation, which is the new thing to do, stay here and have a vacation somewhere local because there's nowhere to go. Anyway, we were in Wine Region, which is absolutely beautiful. And we were just driving through there, and Belinda noticed that around a lot of the vineyards, there were olive trees. And I realized that that's not the case with every vineyard. But the Lord spoke to us out of that about the Lord protecting the wine by the oil. And He spoke to me about the oil being intimacy, the oil being time with Him, the oil being that surrender of time where He can actually flow into your life. And when you are actually in that place of the flow of the Lord, the oil of the Lord, the oil of the Holy Spirit, the vineyard, the provision of the Lord is completely protected. And then we can reap a harvest from that place, a harvest of provision of the Lord. There's a lot of unpacking that the Lord wants to do through this season of what His provision looks like, what His ways actually are, and how we can shift into those things. And I really want to encourage you to dive deep into the Word of God on these things, on the provision of the Lord, of the oil, of the wine, like dig deep into them. Because we're really coming into a season also where you won't necessarily be able to rely upon others digging deep for you. There may be seasons where that's no longer possible. You have to learn in this season how to drink of the wine of the Lord, how to be in the oil of the Lord yourself. And use the season where we do have the freedoms for us to talk together, to learn together, for you to receive teaching in that, but it may not always be possible. And we have to learn that He is ultimately our source of all things. We don't need a middleman. We need Jesus. We need Him. And this is really a season where we need to learn how to cultivate our own wine and our own oil.
Okay. Yeah, so a word in season, and I think it's important to, we're going to come up with some really, really cool, hectic, solution-based teaching and preaching these next number of weeks. Just before Christmas, I had a nice little mini break last week, which I'm recovering from the mini break. Remember, you can relax, but it doesn't mean you get the rest of God, and so I found the rest of God again yesterday. But before Christmas, there was hectic stuff going on. You had the 21st, the 12th, you got the Christmas star, different things. I think there's going to be something that's going to top that soon, I think, with Mercury as well. And I'm not sure. Someone just sent me something. I haven't really drilled down on it. But there's some amazing things the Lord's showing us. And what Rach was talking about is that there's going to be on the earth a level of scarcity. How's that going to come about? Is it going to be, we're going to get burnt by the sun? Actually, there's going to be, supply is going to get controlled. It's going to get controlled. And then, so what happens is the orphan thing goes, Book of Revelation, this is freaking me out. No. The sons of fresh oil goes, no, but don't touch the oil and the wine. The solution is to go, wow, how does that work? Lord, you have my attention. Because this is how we need to see it. There's some hectic stuff in the book of Revelation. Before the foundation of the world, you were nominated to come here. I guarantee you said yes, right? And you're starring in this movie to overcome, all right? Jesus said something really powerful in the book of John. He said, listen, I'm going to make something really clear. In the world, you will have tribulation. But in me, you will have peace. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we're going to learn like never before what it is to be in Christ. But one of the things that we will be drilling down on and opening up, and it's so exciting, how to tap into supernatural provision. Who's interested? Seriously. Just put up the scripture, please. And in Revelation, fairly now book, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us, past tense, and washed us, past tense, from our sins in His own blood, and has, past tense, made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're going to break down the dynamic of kings and priests. If you struggle to spend time alone before the throne of God, you will struggle to overcome. If we can break down and make it as straightforward as possible the benefits of manifesting kingly priesthood, then what happens is we start to manifest the victory of Jesus over every circumstance. Can someone say amen? It's not that, oh, that was a bit weak. Someone said scarcity. Okay, so it's true. It's true. I understand people got exposed fear muscles, you know, unfunny bones, all that sort of stuff. It's true. And so this is actually real. This is real, okay? So I want you to, we can't minister out of anything we don't carry. We just can't. Otherwise, it's just a teaching. And so it says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. It's actually not about being consumed with provision. It's about being consumed with the kingdom. Can someone say amen? That was less weak. Okay. And so, all right. Now, you know us in case you were wondering, Field of Dreams and its leadership is not a perfect setup. I know you're in shock. You are in shock. Me especially, I'm the least perfect. And what happens is that, but what I want to put out there is this, we have always gone after the oil. I'm not a kingdom builder per se, you know, it's about my name, my brand, don't care, because Jesus doesn't. Is it, we've always gone after the oil and the wine. Has not God provided continually? Can someone say amen? And so we're all on a continuance. I mean, I'm not using the word spectrum. It has, you know, it insinuates some things now. It's not meant to, but a continuance. If some of you guys are seeking God like crazy, and some of you pull off of the power source of a Sunday, and that gets you through to a Tuesday, and then you might stumble into a Saturday. And so God's saying that's going to change. Because I want to show you how God is faithful if you go after his kingdom first, your scroll, and the oil and the wine. Who wants to hear examples? Seriously. Because there's again and again and again. So we've never got it perfect, but we've gone after that. Now, I remember when I got the word to start the church, and then we moved into our second building, and it was the Dame Roma Mitchell Center. And this new facility, not a new facility, new to us, this facility, it's fantastic, so excited. And I remember is that you had the first launch. There was at least five people there, wasn't there, babe? Who was at the Dame Roma Mitchell Center? Come put your hands up. Wow, praise God. And so we were there, and what happened was that everything headed south. But you got the Lord open the door and headed south. And so I remember we did a prayer walk. Who went on those prayer walks? We actually did a Jericho walk. And I'm like, again, it's not a formula. We got led to do it. But what happened was this, is that the offerings headed south spectacularly. Like we were nearly getting pretty much nothing. And so it was going on my credit card. And I was thrilled. So in my heart, I started planning all these angry offering talks. You know when there's offering talks and you got that sort of like, oh, I can smell a spirit of desperation on this one. Ooh, sort of, it's very unattractive. Using scripture from a place of fear. And I was angry. I'm going, dang, what's going on? And she started to accrue debt. And we were already in debt personally. And so it was thrilling my socks off. And I'm in my heart, I'm going, okay, I'm going to say this. Then the Lord spoke. He said, don't you ever hit the sheep. He said, they are not your source. You come to me. You come to me. I tell you what, for you guys who have been coming here for a while, is this one of the only churches that doesn't regularly do offering talks? Can someone say amen? I'll tell you why. If we speak about money, it's because God wants you to know about it. We have staff, we have expenses, but humor me. Who has secular employment like this? Secular employment, wave, come on. Here we go. Must be many students and retirees. Okay. So what happens? Can you imagine you have a big week and it's like, it's got the weekend. Oh, I forgot Friday. I got to go in the boss's office and I'm going to do an offering talk for my wage. And the Lord, come on. Either the Lord's called you to do it and he's providing or he's not. So I had to establish that early on. And we do teach on finances and so on. You know, the best offering teachings I do is once the offering's been taken up. It's sort of like, ooh, you know, light bulb moment. Oh, there it goes, out the door. And so this is actually really important. So we went to the Lord because we wanted the glory. And there was one week where the power of God, well, not one week, it was many weeks in the Dame Roma Mitchell Center. There was a particular time where, I mean, how often, you mean, it's, I forget to take up the offering. And so what? Oh yeah, just do that. And so there was this time where people were slain in the spirit everywhere. Remember those days? Anyway, and just altar calls and all that. And so what happened is bodies everywhere and about to close the service. Someone said, you forgot to take up the offering. Now we went before the Lord, who is Jehovah Jireh. Either he called this church into existence or he didn't. So what we did is I said, forgot the offering. Oh! And so just letting you know, there's some buckets here, and just come down and give your offering, but the meeting's finished and people still got ministered to. So anyway, the person who was, so I'm like, oh great, well done, Todd. And we were accruing debt. And I remember I got a phone call that night, the person does the offerings because we've never counted it or banked it. Basically, it's a separate deal. And so they said, oh, they never ring me. Do you know how much is in the offering? I'm like, oh, that bad, hey? Man of paste and flour. Sorry, faith and power. Okay. corny, but it works. And so I said, $30,000 in the offering today. We started to see this happening. I'll tell you why. Because we went after the oil and the wine. You know this whole thing about the oil and the wine, Tabernacle of David, God seeking worshippers. You know what? He wants you to align with heaven's frequency so much that he can get to you everything he needs to get to you. So he says, don't touch the oil in the wine. So he can get, we've seen that again and again. Who wants another example? Okay. So when we were at the Companion Club, at our last building, you know, it was our sixth building, 666, anyway. You know when the glory is falling, when you're preaching, an old Italian guy walks out from the underneath the pokey sign, walks across to carry a big bag of McCain's chips to the freezer, you know? And so I wish I had an Ananias and Sapphira anointing then, but that didn't come about. I was, you know, just distracted and annoyed. Anyway, I remember I went, you know what? I'm done with this. I think we had about 16,000 in the bank. We've never had any full-time staff. We've obviously have the law firm, and we have eldership have different business interests and whatever. We think that's a healthy thing. And so we had about four or five part-time staff. And I remember just like we're a few bad weeks away from having to cut back. And I thought, you know what? I'm done. And you know, my version of I'm done is not become president of the Tightwad Club, because that's the first thing you go, guess what happens is that the flow starts to break down. So out of that, I don't know, I think about 15,000-16,000, something like that, I went, I'm done. I took out $5,000. I went to the church down the road, Alan Dunford, who remembers Alan Dunford? Okay. And we did lunch, and I said, here, I just want to give this to you for your church. It's astonishing. What's this for? You know, I said, we're going to just sow into you, you know, like. And he goes, well, what do you want from me? I want this and I want this. No. I said, no strings attached, but will you agree with me that we'll get 100-fold on the seed that we sow? He goes, well, I can do that. We agreed in prayer. I announced it on Sunday. I said, this is what's happened. I hate the poverty spirit. We're breaking it with an offering. And we're calling it 100-fold. Oh, wow, good response. Yay, you know. People are like, this is great. And like, yeah, praise God. So what happened is that Adam and myself, we started to pray regularly. I mean, hashtag nearly every day. We got together face to face, and it wasn't the way to go. We had so much on. So we just get together on the phone and agree. Lord, I just thank you, you're faithful. Thank you that Field of Dreams didn't just, you know, wasn't a man's idea, it was God's idea. Thank you that where you guide, you provide. Lord, you're faithful. We thank you for 100-fold in Jesus' name. Sometimes it was that short. Remember, whatever things you ask for, believe you have received, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe you have received them and you will have them. So we did that. After 15 months, someone who wasn't at the church at the time. I remember that how this worked out. We're at home and Rachel's, she knows where every cent is all the time. I don't want to know. Now that's not like it's like my job is to go before the Lord and I can't have dollars and cents and figures in my head all the time. And she's looking at the computer and she's like, and I'm like, what? She goes, the church account. I'm like, mighty man of paste and flour. I said, that bad? She goes, no, someone's just put some money in. And I'll cut to the chase. Someone who didn't know that we'd sowed that seed sowed in $500,000, exactly 100-fold of what we believe for. Can we praise God seriously? So I announced it to the church, and I was expecting people to do cartwheels, tears. It was like a calf staring at a new gate. It's like, guys, get excited about sowing and reaping. So if I was to do something like that today, I mean, I believe that you guys would rejoice more than that bunch did. I'll tell you what right now, by faith. I was a bit sort of like, okay, next point. I quit in my heart. And so basically, what do you guys want? Anyway, and then it slowly started to sink in. Because what happens, there is a thing called a poverty spirit, it really is. And so what we need to learn to do, when someone gets blessed, you rejoice in someone else's blessing. When someone gets blessed, you know, what are you thinking? Hallelujah, brother. Praising God makes a way. Now, a few years ago, now, I didn't really have a massive desire to own a building. But I remember having a dream to start the church, and I was happy to rent, you know, it wasn't renting, it was leasing, oh my goodness. And I had a vivid dream for us to get out of there. I mean, it was vivid, and it was very accurate. And what happened was, is that the Lord started to move on us to get out of that place if it was the last thing we ever do. And girl, there's a better life for me and you. And so that was in my heart, in my heart. And so, we're looking like crazy. We found a building and that fell through. We faith planted. And then I think Brendan Grace saw in realestate.com this place. And we moved on it pretty quick. I mean, we saw it, and the next day we're at the doors. Let us in. Anyway, they give us a look around, and we're sort of like, wow, this is pretty cool. So what we did is we made faith steps, and we're talking about the oil and the wine. We made faith steps, and we actually took up offerings. And I'm telling you, I'm just in case you're wondering, I really do want to honor the people who gave into this building people gave out of pension funds. Okay, people like seriously. See, this is the Lord's doing. It's not my doing, you know. It just isn't. I just know that. I don't want you to see Jesus today. I want you to see that this supernatural finance is real. So I remember we're like, the money wasn't coming through. And I remember just we wrote to all of our friends, and we got a little bit. We got a little bit, and we got a brass razoo. And so hashtag. And so we were like, literally the Red Sea's here. And I'm like, remember, say, hey, we're crossing that Red Sea even if we have to paddle across. Do you remember that? Like this. And the people started to wobble like a loose tooth, and it's like, well, we've, you know, it's what we've got to do. And so we got over the line, and you know, they agreed the 1st to the 7th, 17, and the year 5777, it's the 70th Jubilee since Joshua took the promised land. My son was 10, my daughter was 7, 17, just started exploding everywhere. And 7 is divine completion, perfection and rest. 17 is the magnification of 7. So God was clearly in it. He was clearly in it. But we still had a whopper of a mortgage, well over $1 million. And so my job is to say, Lord, this is your bill. And my wife's job is to get on the computer and go clickety-clack, clickety-clack. Yep, right. I just don't have that grace. I can't do both. But we have to. But basically, we're talking about also too, Again, if you want to know who renovated this, there's a little plaque here, okay? And so about especially the Haukiuses and the Giannopouluses, they did an amazing job. Really, they did. And I want to honour them. Just that renovating this place, seriously. And under the glory of God. And there is an anointing for, you know, read Exodus, you know, the tabernacle. And so there was that. So we've seen supernatural provision. I say all that to say this, is that just before Christmas, we were able to discharge the loan for the church and we're utterly debt free. Can someone rejoice? Come on, stand for the Lord. Come on. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Come on, lift your voice. Come on. Angels ascending and descending. Praise God. Praise God. Who feels a spirit of faith in here? You guys can take your seats temporarily. Praise God, that was way better than the last bunch. So just explaining an individual on the condition of anonymity and discretion basically sewed in, they said, this is the deal. So we had to hold it a little while, but we've just, you're in a debt-free facility. Is that amazing? That's amazing. And so I like, you know, when I stumble and my way through stuff and that, and so I want you to see how good Jesus is. How good Jesus is. We break all the rules with some things, but I want you to see that his hand is upon you. It's upon you. And so I had to graduate from the angry offering talks, hashtag witchcraft manipulation, to completely give myself over to the Lord. Because I'll tell you what right now, because this is just the first fruits of what he wants to do with every single person. Can someone shout hallelujah? So I'm just blown away. Like I said, you know, I just want Jesus to be front and center. This morning when Rachel was leading, she's like, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. And I'm just like, I'm just going, Jesus, you are alive. You are alive and you're good. And you're good. He's been giving us the heads up. You know, don't focus. I mean, some of you will probably come off social media simply because it's the way it's going and I don't blame you. And mainstream media, which is false prophet rubbish, just because it's plausible doesn't mean it's true. But I'll tell you what, if you start to feed on the word and worship every day, you're going to see a flow of the oil and the wine. A flow of the oil and the wine. And what he's called you to do, your scroll, if you want to fast track a wrecking ball onto structures, fast track a wrecking ball onto strongholds, is you worship him every day. I'm telling you right now, is that I get these like a quote from the Lord, like a sentence, and he says, I'm going to expose to the Western church the illusion of options. We think, what shall I do today? And what happens, and this is not down, this is a quote from someone else. I love this one. A man or a woman are only as faithful as their options. Options are being removed. So you are going to be without distraction, get before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need. Because this is exciting. So you got chosen to star in this movie to overcome. And I tell you what right now is that I just know that the heavens are so open. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but his glory has risen upon you. His light will be seen upon you. And I'll tell you what, never before, God is calling his church to worship at home. It says they went from house to house and went to the temple. And I'm telling you right now, okay. So what we did, I didn't like it, but when all those restrictions came, now what happens is that we this is a great facility, but we need a bigger one, flat out, just saying. And what happens is that when you're doing this social distancing, is that we could, at one stage we only had 20 people in here, and drove me nuts, you know, like to look everyone in the eye, it's like I was playing tennis. You know, drove me nuts. And so what happened, but this is very important. We did whatever it took to maintain corporate worship, whatever it took. And we've seen something happen that's unique, because South Australia has been relatively spared. You know, there was a bit of a for 3 days. But generally speaking is this, I want you to be so encouraged and full of faith that if you choose intimacy and worship regularly over the distractions of the world, you will be flowing with oil and wine, and whatever is happening in the world will go around you. Can we just shout hallelujah to the Lord? Come on. So we're about to have communion, and so we have to have pads, because that's just the law. Get it ready. The things the Lord's going to reveal in the next month or so is going to blow your mind. I've been saying to you for a while, it's better behind the scenes than it is up front. It's going to blow your mind. Who's ready to go to another level? Yeah, yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Jesus, we love you. And we just thank you that you are so, so faithful. I thank you that it's about the will of God. The will of God, and we receive that in being led by you and scrolls. We thank you, Lord, that you've ordained us to bear fruit and that our fruit would remain. But Lord, none of it would be possible without you first dying on the cross and giving us the perfect provision. We thank you for the provision of your broken body. We thank you for the perfect provision of the wine of your blood. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Right now, we just rejoice today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So Lord, bless this communion to us in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The tabernacle of David. Angels ascending and descending. Just the goodness of God, the greatness of God. It says that he is seeking worshipers. Worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, we're going to about just put on a song in a minute before, as we dismiss the meeting. I'll never forget is that we're going to the Flinders Ranges, and my dad decided in his infinite wisdom to take the long cut. And after we took the scenic long cut, the road was cut off and we had to go all the way back to go and not collect $200. And it took us a very, very long time. So what happened is, I remember my son was a lot younger than he is now. This is, I don't know, 4 years ago. And usually we'd be getting the whole, are we there yet? Are we there yet? This is so boring. My bum hurts. I'm hungry. When is this? So what? He's looking out the window, and there's these, like these, it's flat, and then it's just like these little hills, because we're going to the Flinders Ranges, you see? He goes, Dad, is that the Flinders Ranges? I said, no, Max, it's not, but we're getting there. If we drive for another 45 minutes, and then the hills actually start to get a bit steeper and bigger. And it's like, Max goes, is that the Flint? Look at those hills, that we could camp up there. Look at those. He was so excited. Mind you, I just come back from Peru with amoebic dysentery. Anyway, And I'm going, wow, he's so positive and chipper and he's excited. And then as we're getting closer, it gets steeper and steeper. Wow, look, are we there yet? I said, no, we're close though. This is amazing. Look, we could like this. And I felt something pull on me. I felt like if I could pull the Flinders Ranges now and bring him in the car, I would. And the Lord said to me this, when you live in excitement and anticipation and celebration, quite often you'll fall forward into faith and a miracle. When you're just, thank you, Lord, you're amazing. We get to star in this movie. We get to overcome things that other generations didn't. This is amazing. So I'm going to close in prayer, but what we're going to do is I'm going to spare the band. I really felt there was something on that Hallelujah, Jesus is Alive. Whether it's Rotten Cannoli or whatever, we're going to play it. I'm going to close in prayer. We're going to play. If you want to stand up and praise God, if you need to go, the meeting's dismissed. Cafe is open. Yep. And so you can go through there. But if you want to stay and just praise God for a few minutes, we're going to play this. But I'm going to close in prayer. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for supernatural provision. I thank you that you are faithful. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself. So I thank you, Lord, as we launch into this new era, we thank you that we're going to see such amazing things happen. We're going to see supernatural breakthrough and manifestation like never before. In the name and blood of Jesus, everyone said, Amen.